Welcome in, latest edition of the Nebraska Basketball Show. Kyle Crooks with you. And as always, the Nebraska Men's Basketball Coaches Show is sponsored by Union Bank and Trust, where people don't have your money has people. Talking all things Nebraska hoops. Talk about the game last night. Of course, didn't go the Huskers' way, but that's sports. Win, lose, you talk about it, move on, get ready for the next one. Penn State coming up on Saturday. We'll have some of the members of the 96 NIT Championship team. Jessica Cootie chatted with them. We'll also have Bryce McGowan's on the show in the fourth segment. So we'll have a flurry of interviews from what was a busy weekend of Husker hoops and some former players coming back. With that, we have a very special guest in studio for the second time this year, assistant coach Pat Monahan. Coach, good to see you again. I know it was a short flight last night, but it wasn't a fun flight for sure. What are some of the observations after a tough one last night?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, we didn't play up to our standard for 40 minutes. Iowa had a lot to do with that. I thought last night was probably the first time where the crowd affected us a little bit. Like I talked about, I think, a few weeks ago when I was on, or a month ago, we're going to face adversity throughout the year. And we got to continue to get better. And hopefully with the mature group that we have, with our older veteran guys, we can do that. And I believe that. And we got a really good basketball team. We really do. And heading into these last five regular season games and before the Big Ten tournament, we just want to keep getting better here these next few weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of time left here. And it's crazy to think, because I feel like we've been in the season for a long time, but there's still a lot of time left to go and a lot of things to be figured out in terms of the Big Ten and NCAA tournament seeding and all those things that fans like to talk about. But I'm looking at the numbers from last night, and I'll start with a positive. And for coaches, after a game like last night, you're saying, oh, whatever. But Iowa shot only 33%. They were 17 of 51 from the floor. You forced 9 turnovers going into half, 12 for the game. I guess the big difference is Iowa capitalized off of turnovers and Nebraska just didn't.
Yeah, and the way Iowa plays, it's a possession-by-possession game. You look at I was looking at this morning with Illinois, Purdue, Iowa. Their pace offensively is in the 300s, mm-hmm. and that's where the possession by possession matters. We had some good looks, uncontested looks, where we just missed. We didn't knock down. If we can get one of those shots to fall, especially in the second half with 6 minutes to play, it gives us a breathing room for that next possession, because our guys did a pretty good job for the most part of guarding. They were locked in, and yeah, we had a few breakdowns. When you play a team like that, like Iowa, where they squeeze you, you got to be really efficient on the other end of the floor on the offensive side. And we just couldn't convert the way we needed to last night.
Physical nature that it takes to play in this league, especially, and you probably know where I'm going with this, with rebounding, and that's the big discussion around this. How much is it just wrong spot, wrong time, having to be more physical, positioning? When you look at the tape, initial glance, what's the genesis of the rebounding issues that have been there?
Well, number one, I think the biggest thing for us is, we're switching consistently in our mm-hmm. defense. And we're a top 10 defensive team. And obviously, that's on the defensive end is what has allowed us to have the season we've had too this year and be in every game that we've played. So, being in constant rotations, it's going to have some guys in some different spots at the end of the possession where, our guards are going to be going against some bigs where we got to be able to hit. We got to do a better job of rebounding down. Teams that shoot a lot of threes, long rebounds come into play. And it's just a constant emphasis that we got to continue to emphasize moving forward. When you give up a couple offensive rebounds to a team like Iowa, to a team like Purdue, to a team like Illinois, there's pace of play on the offensive sides in the 300s. It's possession by possession. You don't get that extra. You can give up an extra possession on the offensive glass. Well, yeah, it's going to mirror you a lot more than it is against a team that's going to be a faster-paced team with more possessions in the game.
Yeah, I think that's good context around it. Just the high level of switching you guys are doing and put certain guys in positions to have to rebound. And that's what makes Sam so fascinating, right? The high number of, I don't know if he still does, but for a long portion of the season led the team in defensive rebounding. And he's a guy has become sort of a glue in that rebounding aspect as a smaller guy on the floor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's why we talk about it's by committee. We got to rebound down by committee. And I think as the season goes, we got to continue to dig in and tighten up and understand the meaning of those possessions, because here in March and postseason, it starts to become a half court game. You got to be able to execute in the half court on both sides of the floor, and if we can do that, I really believe that we're going to set ourselves up and be in position to win it every single night.
Yeah, and credit Iowa, right? They watch film, they make adjustments. I mean, they had a really good defensive game plan last night. There weren't many open looks, and sometimes you run into a team that's, you know, they bought in last night for sure on the defensive end. Adjustments moving forward in terms of, I guess, what do you see and why it was so tough, I guess, last night for you guys to get open looks?
Well, I think their pressure, number one, they did a great job of having ball pressure. Number two, obviously, I mean, they were physical with us off the basketball. And I think for us, with accumulation of that, and like I said, the crowd, it was one of those nights. And at the end of the day, I mean, we understand that we got to continue to play better on that side of the ball. But I mean, it's college basketball, right? Like Texas Tech, they beat Arizona at Arizona, then they lose last night at Arizona State. I think the biggest thing is constantly keeping your team ready and prepared for every single day. For us, we just felt like their physicality. They were the more desperate team. I mean, they were coming off a two game losing streak of losing at Maryland, then basically getting throttled by Purdue at home in front of a sellout. We knew that they needed a win against a top 10 team. Quality team like us, and like I said, the more desperate team last night won.
And I look at it, and some fans probably don't want to hear it, right? It was a struggle offensively, shot the three terribly last night, right? 5 of 24, another slow first half. You're only down 5 at half. Kale hits that three. You only lose by 5 on the road in a game that was probably the worst game of the year for the Huskers, especially offensively, in a quad one sellout road game. You're in it down the stretch. That's the thing, is like, we want to think doom and gloom, but as bad as Nebraska played, in all reality, I mean, the game's right there too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing about this league, and especially about a team like Iowa, where you're going to have a limited number of possessions because of just how they play. They make you play deep in the clock. And for us, like, we needed to get out and run with some opportunities. We had some open looks, especially from three early in the clock, we didn't make. And then when you don't make those type of threes, types of shots, when you play against a team like Iowa, then it becomes even more important to value possession. But overall, we had a chance. We had the ball with a minute to play down three, and we just couldn't execute down the stretch. And we had our opportunities, and we got to learn from it and grow from it. And just continue to move forward.
That's what I think. What's interesting is, you know, the Purdue game, how poorly it went in the first half, down 22 and down 9 with 2 minutes left. And here's Nebraska, free throw away from winning that game. Iowa can't shoot, you know, down the stretch. Here's Nebraska. So I think that's a sort of a silver lining from that game. I want to ask you about Price and what defenses are doing. We talked about the offense as a whole, but how tough is it right now for, because he's the top of the scouting report, what adjustments need to be made there, I guess, without giving up any secrets to opponents, to maybe try to make things a little bit easier for Price?
Yeah, I think we just got to continue to put him in different situations to help him get some early free looks. I mean, he got a couple looks in transition yesterday early in the game. He hit one. He hit one in the second half late. Like, he had a couple good looks. He just didn't knock down. But throughout the course of the game, I mean, there's things that here we'll do to move forward to help him. And there's some different things that we're going to show him that he can improve on, especially when guys are basically not helping off of him and chasing him hard. Some different things that he can do to improve his catches and then play with a little more in space with the basketball too. So we'll adjust to that. And Price is a really good player. I mean, for him to do what he's done consistently throughout the entire year, especially on the offensive end, and the way that his ability to move without the basketball, he's been a big value to us, and we'll continue to do a good job to help him.
chatting with assistant coach Pat Monahan here on the Nebraska Basketball Show. How do you think he dealt with the emotion of last night? He said he didn't hear the chants and all that stuff, but it's hard to say, okay, this is not in the back of my mind. He's a human being. How do you, from your perspective, how do you think he dealt with it last night?
You know what? I mean, I thought he dealt with it the best that he could. I mean, I don't think he got rattled from it. I don't think, like, Price goes about his business the same way every single day. That's what's allowed him to be the player that he is. I mean, he goes in a professional manner, just on his daily habits. And regardless, Price knows, regardless of what people are going to say. And I don't think he really got rattled from it. From that standpoint, he's an unbelievable teammate. I know his teammates had his back throughout the whole night. We'll continue to learn from it and grow from it and hear moving forward.
Yeah, I think he's extremely mature just from the outside looking in. And if anybody's going to be able to deal with that, it's certainly Price. And the good thing is Iowa's coming to town a little bit later in the year, so you'll have them again. What are some of the things you're seeing from Rick Mast, and maybe what defenses are doing to try to take away what we saw maybe early in Big Ten play?
Yeah, I think more teams are pressuring them a little bit, especially away from the basket a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's taking away maybe some of his ability to pass a little bit and find cutters. But with Rink too, I mean, we got to continue to put him in spots to be successful. And I mean, Rink's. I mean, he's had some good looks, especially from shooting the basketball, right? Like, we believe in Rink. Rink's a really, really good player on both sides of the ball. He is our leader of our team. He's great with our team as far as his communication and his message every single day to our guys. And I think Rink, like, he's just got to continue to go out there and believe in himself, mm-hmm. and his confidence. And he's a really, really good basketball player.
How much did the foul trouble last night sort of hurt the momentum of that game? I think, you know, looking at it, watching his help defense, the way that he's able to stay vertical, not foul, and helping on baseline drives and things like that is just such a difference maker on the defensive end, and why you guys are so good on that end. But did it hurt the overall flow of what you guys wanted to do when maybe you had to take him out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when you take a guy like Rink out with his ability to post up, his ability to pass, his ability to shoot. Mm-hmm. You're going to be at a disadvantage at times on the floor. But I mean, there was no flow to the game yesterday.
You're right.
At the end of the day, so. but like, I mean, that's Big Ten basketball, and I think being able to execute in the half court, we'll continue to find ways to do that. And I thought our guys handled the adversity with no flow throughout the game, and credit to Iowa, they made a couple more plays than we did.
Yeah, and in the end, right there, we just couldn't pull it out. 57-52 was the final score last night. Appreciate assistant coach Pat Monahan for joining us on the Nebraska Basketball Show. We continue with more of the show right after this. Back here on the Nebraska Basketball Show, assistant coach Pat Monahan here in studio with myself, Kyle Crooks, and fans. Contact 811. 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It's the law. We'll continue to break down a little bit of last night's game and look ahead. Penn State coming to town as the Huskers are back at home at PBA. Sellout with Penn State coming to town. So, again, looking back to last night, I just want to sort of break it down a little bit. And I think Cale Jacobson, too, and the way that I've looked at him the last handful of games, and what, of course, he had the big three to end the first half. But every single time he's out on the floor, and I think we've talked about this before, but he brings a calm demeanor. One, he's great on the defensive end, but brings a sense of calmness, and he always seems to hit two or three big threes a game.
Yeah, and I mean, he's done that all season for us. He has that calmness about him, we expect that every night from mm-hmm. him, and we expect his leadership and, I mean, his ability to think and play and process, and I think that's what's allowed him to be a really, really valuable piece to us this year.
You look at Braden Frager, too, and such a young guy. I mean, he's reclassified, came here when he was 17, right? And this year he's had the ups and had the ankle injury that sort of put him on the shelf for a little bit and had such a great start to Big Ten play. What are you seeing from him right now? It feels like maybe he's going through it a little bit, but it seems like he'll eventually get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, with like any freshman, I mean, they're going to have their ups and downs, even though he was in the program last year and practiced practiced all last year. I mean, it's different when you play, right? And with Braden, I mean, with the performances that he had, especially through first half of the season, I mean, he's moved up on scouting reports. So coming in off the bench and being an impact guy and changing the game, I mean, there's guys in that other locker room that are emphasizing that. So for him to for us to constantly help him understand that and the importance of it, that's him continue to grow, continue to learn. But he's been great. He's been great throughout the entire year, and like all our guys, we're trying to get them better here the next 3 weeks, heading into Big Ten play and then March Madness.
What was Fred's message, I guess, from what you could share last night in post game, talking to the guys in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think like Coach, Coach was upset from the standpoint of. We weren't kind of who we were. We kind of got out physical. We got, if you want to say, out toughed a little bit from that standpoint. And like I said earlier here, like I think the crowd rattled us a little bit. Whereas, I mean, we've played in other environments where we've handled our poise, but we just felt like we didn't handle our poise. But like Fred's the ultimate leader, and our guys, everybody in our program follows Coach. And I think from that standpoint, I mean, that's why we're in the position we are. And it's, I mean, we've had a stretch here of playing, top half teams in the league here. And we've had an opportunity to win every single one of them. But when you play really good teams, it's going to go one way or the other. And that's why we got to continue to get better here.
What are some of the challenges, I think, from these two-day preps that you guys have had from a coaching standpoint? Because you have the scout, guys, I'm sure, in shoot-around seem like they're good. Shoot-around's a hard indicator to say whether it's going to be a good, or you can have a great shoot-around and be flat as a board once the game actually starts. But from a coaching perspective, getting the guys ready to go, like, hey, you have to be mentally and physically sharp 2 days later after fighting and Saturday on a Tuesday, you got to be ready to go on the road. These 2 day turnarounds got to be pretty hard in league play.
Right. Oh yeah. It's very hard in league play, and especially in a league like the Big Ten. The biggest thing is really trying to get our guys to understand from the more so the mental standpoint when we go through the next day of walkthrough and our script of putting in our offense and our defense going in for the game plan, where we're probably not going body on body because we just came off a big game the day before. So for us, it's really preparing our guys from that standpoint. And listen, like you got to keep improving and keep staying sharp with your skill set. Our guys have done a good job of that. And we have a pretty good routine here of our prep going into those 2 day preps with our guys. And most teams around the country nowadays at this time of year, like you're not going long anyway, live on live, body on body, very long, especially here towards the end of February.
Yeah, I would imagine that the practice plan alters considerably this time of year. I mean, you guys especially too are getting set to, in a couple weeks, to, towards the end of the month, head out west. You know, that's a tricky trip late in the year. So as coaches, I'm sure you work with your strength and conditioning staff. Fred does. You guys all do. But the plan has to alter significantly when you hit February, March, of how you're working these guys.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and like our program with just our sports scientists, and I mean, Fred's big on that workload, and I think that's a big part of here moving forward, especially with when you get into Big Ten play late in the season, when everybody's sore, everybody's banged up, but it's how can you get your body ready for that next day, that next game, more so physically and mentally.
And let me ask you this: I mean, your experience in hoops. What does it take for a team to peak in March? Is it more of a mental thing than a physical? Because everybody's tired, right? Everybody's banged up. Some are luckier than others in the injury department. Is it more of a mental thing than a physical thing for teams to peak in March?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, right? Like you got to stay confident. I mean, like we woke up today. I mean, we're 11-4 in the Big Ten and 22-4 overall, with a 2-game homestand coming up. And For us, we got to constantly remind ourselves where we at and how we got to this point. I mean, one game should never just define who we are as a team or as a program. But for us, like I mentioned before, I mean, we got to continue to paint the picture for our guys of, hey, what have we done to get to this point right now and put ourselves in position to be in the top four right now with the Big Ten and continue to control what we want to control here moving forward. So, yeah, on both sides of it, of being mentally painting that picture, but then also physically of getting your rehab, continue developing your skill and continue to getting better of what we want to execute on the floor on both sides.
Yeah, you make a good point that all things considered, Nebraska's in a really, really good spot now here for the rest of the season. I like to get your opinion on some of the stars on the other side. Bennett Sturts, what is it about him that makes him such a special player?
I mean, he does an unbelievable job. I mean, last night he did an unbelievable job on both sides of the basketball. His ability to, number one, play 38 minutes a game in the Big Ten and have the ball in your hands 95% of the game on the offensive end. That number one, that's a lot of conditioning.
38 minutes of game is crazy.
Yeah.
it's wild.
For sure. For him to do that consistently night in and night out, you got to give him credit. But that's also what Coach McCollum's always done throughout his entire career. He's always had a point guard who's had the ball in his hands for 38 minutes a game.
Yeah. I mean, he played 40 last night, and so he had 25, and he drew that big foul on Sam late in the game. Just his ability. He's just one of those players that you hate to play against but would love to have. Just one of those. When you see some of the, you know, especially the young stars in the league, you saw Keaton Wagler specifically, and you see a guy like Braden Smith at Purdue. Like, what stands out as some of the star guards in this league? Kind of a common trend between them, you think?
I think they go about their business the same way if you look at them, and they're confident. They trust their work. They believe in their teammates. And I think like that's what allows them to just go out and play and be who they are. I mean, you look at Braden Frager, like the success that he's had is because he's been able to go out there and play and trust his work and his skill set has helped him because we've had other guys obviously step up and be who they are, and Frager can just go out and be a redshirt freshman and use some of his talents and skill set to his advantage. And I mean, yeah, these other guys, Wagler, he's had some tough stretches too throughout the year as well, but it's their confidence and their belief in who they are as players. And I think that's tough to have as a freshman, but those guys, that's why they're special. They have it.
Yeah. Each week in the league, you realize why it's an elite league in the Big Ten this year for college hoops. The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, Midwest Premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres solutions for every field. One more segment coming up with assistant coach Pat Monahan, then we'll let him get back to watching some film. We'll have Andy Markowski, Eric Strickland, Bryce McGowan's from Alumni Weekend. So we have a trio of interviews with Jessica Cootie coming up in the final segment as we continue right after this. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Kyle Crooks alongside assistant coach Pat Monahan of Nebraska Hoops. This is the Nebraska Basketball Show. Final segment with coach. Then we'll have a trio of interviews from a very busy alumni weekend. Andy Markowski, Eric Strickland, who of course was the NIT MVP back in 1996. Bryce McGowan's, who's playing in the NBA currently, of course made his impact in a short time here with Nebraska. We'll have those three interviews coming up in the final segment with Jessica Cootie. So a big one coming up this weekend. You turn the page again. You don't have a whole lot of time to sit and wallow and pity and things like that. You have a new opponent coming in, Penn State. Every game in this league is tough. I was coaching, looking down their schedule. You know, they played some tight games this year. Michigan by one possession. Purdue, Illinois was pretty close. I think they played Michigan State pretty tough, you know, looking at it. So when you look at the opponents they played and how they've played them, this is a pretty darn good Penn State team coming in.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, they're a young team. So, I mean, they've gotten better throughout the season. They've obviously got a lot more comfortable with each other. And, yeah, like you said, you get to this time of year, I mean – You gotta be a desperate team. You gotta want. I mean, there's teams. The more desperate team, usually this time of year, it usually ends up out on top. And I think for us, playing a team like Penn State. I mean, their style's a little bit different than Iowa's from yesterday. So we got to do a good job of adjusting, and we'll put together a really good game plan on both sides. And I mean, we're looking to just get back out on the floor and compete here on Saturday.
What's the key to a faster start? Maybe getting a different first half, not having to play from behind, or just work your way out of a slog in the second 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us is continue to emphasize the paint. I mean, we've had paint touches off dribble penetration to kickouts, or we've gotten the ball in the paint off post-ups, or we've gotten the ball in the paint off our cutting. It's allowed us to get off to some faster starts, and I think we got to continue to make that emphasis here as we move forward. Playing ahead early, especially at home, which probably we haven't done in a week or week and a half. So. Is what we need to do.
How much do you get a chance? We're talking with Pat Monahan, assistant coach, Nebraska Hoops, to be a fan of college basketball and watch some of these other games. You know, I was watching, you mentioned Texas Tech, Arizona State last night. The parity in college basketball has been really fun. I was watching, TCU had a big upset. I'm blanking on the opponent last week. And
yeah,
then
Iowa State last
week. Iowa State, yeah. And you look at all these upsets, and Kansas without their star player beats Arizona and Fog Allen. Like, it's pretty fun, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's great. I mean, it's great for the fans. I mean, I do watch a lot of college hoops. I mean, college hoops is my favorite game to watch. I watch more of the NBA once it gets here towards middle of March, April, in the playoffs. It's more so, I mean, watching a lot of college basketball, mid-major, low-major. Obviously high major basketball, but it's fun watching other teams, other styles of play, because you try to pick something out that maybe you can help your team with.
Do you are you on like ESPN Plus on a Tuesday night watching some of the mid-major games?
Oh yeah.
You're like a college basketball sicker.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I'll watch Vermont play Maine.
Well, that's your background, right? So that never leaves you.
Right.
You love that stuff.
Yeah, I love it. It's kind of ingrained in me. I've always felt like it helps you then, especially in this time now with the transfer portal. I know who this guy,
yeah.
I watched him, so you have kind of an idea of that league or that team and moving forward here once March rolls around.
You know, when I watch games, I can't not broadcast them in my head. It's a sickness. I would assume for you, you're saying, oh, that baseline out of bounds was cool. And watching a random game, you probably can never get out of that.
Yeah, no, I can't, and I think it's fun just to watch on a random Wednesday night or Tuesday night. I mean, now it was in the Mount West, and I got to watch a lot of West Coast games because it's just the time difference and stuff. And now I find myself up a little later watching more West Coast games around the midnight, which is good. I mean, I felt like I was two weeks ago, I was watching Portland play Gonzaga late at night. And I mean, that was the night Portland beat Gonzaga, but sometimes you forget about those West Coast games because it is so late, 2 hours behind us. It's like in 2 weeks when we go out to UCLA, I think we play UCLA at 8 o'clock local time out there in California. It's 10 o'clock here. So hopefully we got some Husker fans still up watching that.
Yeah, well, hopefully our producers are up because we need somebody back here at the studio that day. Final one, Coach, did you get a chance to chat with anybody alumni weekend? I know a lot of guys were back. Did a lot of the guys come through, get a chance to talk to some of the players and mingle, interact?
Yeah, we did actually. The event on Friday night was great. I mean, Keith and Cheryl putting that event together with Luca, it was great to have all those alumni back. I mean, that's what it's about. Those guys have set the foundation. We actually had one of our current players, Connor Sejan, speak at that, which was really, really cool. And it was great to just see all the former alumni back here and their tradition of Husker basketball and how we're continuing to move it forward and push it forward. But I wanted to give a shout out to the people behind the scenes who put that event together because that took a lot of hard work and it turned out unbelievably well.
Yeah, wrangling 75 former basketball players is not an easy task. We had Cheryl Burbach on the show last week, and she talked about a lot of the work and the logistics that went into it. So a shout out to everybody behind the scenes, because it was certainly an awesome event and was capped off by a win over Northwestern. Coach, we can't thank you enough. It was a late night last night, and I'm sure an early morning for you guys. But we appreciate you coming in here and chatting hoops and talking about the game, because fans like to get your perspective. We can sit here and talk about it, but fans want to get the coach's perspective. So we can't thank you enough.
Yep. No, thank you. I appreciate it, Kyle, and go Big Red.
Assistant coach Pat Monahan, appreciate him for joining us here in studio. Still one more segment to go of Andy Markowski, Eric Strickland, both from that 96 NIT championship team. Sat down with Jessica Cootie. Bryce McGowan's as well had a chance to catch up with Jess at the game this past Saturday. So one more segment to go here on the show right after this. Back here on the Nebraska Basketball Show, we really appreciate assistant coach Pat Monahan for joining us for the first three segments. I know kind of a frustrating flight back for the guys last night. It was a late night, early morning for the coaches to dissect the tape. One of those games where you don't play well, you don't shoot it well, and in the end, you're right in the thick of things late, but fall 57-52 in what was certainly a staggered pace type of game. The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, Midwest Premier John Deere dealers, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. And also, the Huskers will get a chance to get back home this weekend again for another Saturday. Penn State is coming to town. That'll be a 1 o'clock tip, so a 12 p.m. start to our coverage with KP and Coach Jeff Smith. So back at home and a chance to get right here for the Huskers. This past Saturday, Northwestern was in town, but that was just part of it because it was a party at PBA, and certainly the night before at the banquet. It was alumni weekend honoring the 30th anniversary of the 1996 NIT champions. And we had a couple of very special guests that will join us here on the show. Jessica Cootie was out and about at that banquet on Friday night, getting a chance to talk to a few of those standouts from that 96 team, including Andy Markowski and Eric Strickland. Eric was the NIT MVP that year, part of what was a tremendous team and certainly part of the celebration of Alumni Weekend. And here are those conversations with Andy and Eric.
All right, well, first of all, this event's grown pretty special. How cool is it? How great is it that this is something that's carried on every year?
Yeah, well, first, give Coach Miles credit, right? He's the one that started it. It was very small, and then it's growing. You know, a lot of familiar faces, but this year has added some new excitement in the sense of just been a great season. It's had its own energy, and then, you know, the 30-year anniversary of the 1996 team, which I have a few of my teammates that I haven't seen in a while, so it should be a really fun weekend.
Tell us about that team that's being honored this weekend, that 96 team. What was so special about that group?
It had a lot of good basketball players. So four from that team played in the NBA. And, you know, that story's been told a long time. 96 was a little dysfunctional season. We got off to a 12-1 start. Had some things that didn't go well for us. Lost 10 in a row. Still got into the NIT and then won 5 in a row. And you know, we played Mississippi State in Portland over Christmas. And it was, I think, an 81-78 game. And that's the year they went to the Final Four. So a ton of really good guys, a ton of really good basketball players. And it certainly finished the right way.
I was noticing that team is on the season list for assist, and this current team is chasing you guys down. Are there some similarities with how you guys share the basketball and how this current team shares the basketball?
Yeah, certainly. You know, we had selfless players that shared it. But if you think of the three guards on that team, you know, Tron Liu, Eric Strickland, and Jaron Boone, they were all three pretty special offensive players. So they demanded a lot of help and were able to pass and find open players. So, you know, both teams had, you know, really, you know, versatile scoring guards, versatile forwards, but sharing the ball was something that those three guards did, and certainly this team is one, well, you know, probably go down in history as the best passing team that we've had.
How special is it as an alum to see the kind of season that's being put together for this group this year?
Well, I've lived it, you know, in the 90s, going over 5 in the NCAA tournament, then you hear, you know, that we haven't won an NCAA game, and then certainly there was a, you know, couple decade dry spell. So, you know, this program has been there. It's been fun to see them at the top and the energy around it. And, you know, hopefully this is sustainable because, you know, I think the fans have really enjoyed it. The coaching staff and the players have bought in. And, you know, I just hope being towards the end, there's still a lot of basketball left for them to go out and get done.
And how important is it for you guys to keep coming together, all the generations of Huskers, and why do you think it continues to be so special? I mean, I'm seeing so many different generations here talking.
You know, we have that common bond. You know, I think if you're once a Husker, always a Husker. And, you know, when you have excitement to come back for, you know, I think it adds some new people back into Lincoln, back in for the weekend. You know, you can reconnect and tell some different stories. So, you know, it's really important. I mean, when we were, you know, playing in the 90s, the players in the 80s would come back and compete against us. You know, in the 90s, we would play against some of the players in the 2000s. So now that it's 30 and 40 and 50 years out, obviously the games aren't happening anymore, but it's still fun to, you know, rub elbows and tell stories and, you know, just reminisce and see what people are up to. So I think this energy is, you know, healthy. I think it's recruiting. It's, you know, us showing up tomorrow shows the fans that they're part of something that, you know, is special. It has a good culture. So I think all these are drops in the bucket and helps the men's basketball build a stronger program.
How special is this? And what is being done here this weekend for the alumni?
Well, it's amazing, and I love that it's growing. You know, the success of the Husker basketball team is also, you know, a big feature of it all. But I can't realize how it's 30 years that it's passed. That's what's crazy. You know, I'm looking up. I still feel and look young, and it's 30 years. And so it's a beautiful thing to get with our guys and to be able to come together.
Tell us about that 96 group. I know it's a little disappointing, but you guys go through that NIT run. What was it about that group that was so special and so memorable?
Well, it was the resilience of it all. We easily could have thrown in the towel, tanked it in, and gave up. But it shows that a team that can come together, unite, and come under one cause, you know, what you can accomplish. We had a phenomenal team, and I think that team at the end of the year, nobody would have wanted to play us if it came down to an NCAA tournament run.
It seems like all these the different generations of Huskers, you guys are all talking like you all played together. Tell us about the brotherhood and just how the familiarity of, hey, you might not have played with each other, but it's just that connectivity is there.
Yeah, once you're a Husker, you're always a Husker, and it's a big family. And it's good to see from all the way back to Maxie and how they continue to stay around. And when we see each other and we connect, it's beautiful to be able to see them. That's one of the reasons I wanted to come back and make sure that I share this moment with them.
How special is it as, you know, player here in this program to see what's being done here this season?
It's been amazing what Fred has been able to put together and to get the guys to buy in. And not only to buy in, but to believe. That's a major component of being able to go out each and every night, go on the road, and be able to come out with victories. And I think they've done that, and they're going to continue to do so. And it doesn't seem like they're satisfied, and that's a beautiful thing as well.
Great stuff with Jess and checking in with Andy Markowski and Eric Strickland, part of that 96 NIT championship year. 30th anniversary of that, and they were honored this past Saturday at PBA. One of the players more recently making a massive impact on this Husker program, Bryce McGowans, who's currently in the NBA with the New Orleans Pelicans, had a chance to come home because it was during All-Star weekend, made a massive impact in his short time here. And here's the conversation that Bryce had with Jessica Cootie.
All right, Bryce McGowans, how does it feel to be back again in PBA?
It feels great. It's amazing atmosphere here on this amazing Saturday. It feels good, you know, just to feel the college energy again, feel Cornhusker family. So I'm excited to be back, and it's great.
Alumni weekend, you guys come back almost every year, or try to when you can. Why is it important for you and Trey to always try to make it back?
Yeah, Nebraska gave me a lot, you know, all their love, their support towards me, and they still showing a lot of love and support towards me. So, you know, anytime I can come back and, you know, show support to the guys, to the community, to the college, to the university, I try to come back every time.
How much fun is it to interact with the different generation of Huskers?
Yeah, you know, seeing the guys before me that were here and, you know, led the way to me coming here. So it's just great being able to see them, interact with them. I met a couple of them already, and you know, a couple new faces, so it's just glad to, you know, be a part of the family.
What is it about that brotherhood that you guys just relate so well and can connect so easily?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, starting off with the love of basketball. You know, it's what we love to do. It's what we love to do. And the university behind us, you know, they took great care of all of us, so, you know, we're pouring back in.
How about this team this year? How proud are you of the way that this team is performing?
Yeah, they've been great. They've been getting after it. They've been battling. It's a great group of guys, great group of coaches. I'm just excited to see their success, and hopefully we can, you know, get to that tourney and make it shake.
You, when you were here, you had a lot of belief that Coach Hoiberg would get this thing rolling. What is it about him and the staff that they're able to kind of get here and get to the, where this group is right now?
Yeah, they do a great job with the guys they bring in, you know, and emphasizing their role within the team. Like, you look out here, everybody knows their role, and they execute it at a high level. And, you know, that's why they're top 10 in the country.
Appreciate your time. Great to see you back.
Yeah, thank you.
Great stuff with Jess and Bryce McGowan. Certainly Huskers are prideful that Bryce was a part of this program, doing great things at the NBA level with the New Orleans Pelicans, and really happy he was able to get back into town. Credit to everybody behind the scenes, like we mentioned with Coach Monahan, Cheryl Burbach leading the charge with others, getting 70-plus former Husker basketball players here into town for the Friday night banquet and then for the game on Saturday. Well, the Huskers will be back at it. A little bit of a break before Saturday. We'll tip that one off against Penn State. 1 o'clock tip-off, and what that means is a 12 p.m. Central start to our coverage on the pregame show. Kent Pavelka and Coach Jeff Smith have all the action for you, Huskers and Penn State Nittany Lions. Huge thanks to Josh Hilkeman and Camden Cohn behind the scenes, and assistant coach Pat Monahan. This has been the Nebraska Basketball Show.